Dossier on Demetrius. A document now gathering dust in a silent room.
Gregory Keene commences with another page from The Dossier on Demetrius.
As every succeeding day went by, I loved Haley Bergner more. I can't describe the intensity of my feeling for her, so I won't try. But I have to tell you that at this stage of the affair of Demetrius, she was spending most of her time at my flat. It may sound irrelevant, but it wasn't, and I want you to bear it in mind. The other striking development concerned my ref chum, Jerry Fagan. You see, to get Demetrius out of hiding and into the sanatorium after his Gestapo loot, we had to get Colonel Fentress to lift the guard on the place. It wasn't easy. Fagan ran the informer Eustace Manley to earth and told him a story about flying two men into France for a huge sum that morning. Manley was no fool. He recognized them from Fagan's tale as Demetrius and Yachty Blum, and he almost fell over getting up to the embankment to sell his bogus information to Colonel Fentress. I was in touch through Cutts and Fagan himself, so when I heard that Manley had swallowed the story, I waited to hear what happened to Fagan. It was a tense sort of wait, too. It seemed to me my chances of catching Demetrius were hanging on the outcome of the next few hours. Was the guard coming off that sanatorium, or wasn't it? Then Cutts appeared at my flat. He had good news. Colonel Fentress had picked up Jerry Fagan for questioning. They were at the embankment at that moment, and the suspense mounted and mounted. What wouldn't I have given to have been there?
You say your name's Fagan?
It always has been.
My name's Fentress.
Should I curtsy?
Sit down, Fagan.
Thanks.
You, own and operate a charter service from an aerodrome near Swansea in Wales, don't you?
A Blackwood Common. Can I fly you anywhere?
I don't think you'll be flying anyone anywhere for a while, Fagan. You took two passengers to France this morning, didn't you?
Did I?
Now look here. We've information that you took two men out of the country for a large sum of money this morning.
I flew to France. Now I'm back again. My papers were in order.
You cleared your papers for a charter flight, taking four crates of engine parts for delivery at Nancy. You took these two men along too. There's no sense in denying it. Who were they?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You realize it's a criminal offense?
I still don't know what you're talking about.
We know a good deal about you already, Fagan. You were with the 110 Bomber Squadron. You have a good record. Now you look like doing 2 or 3 years. Rather a stupid way to earn yourself £5,000, wasn't it?
You know, you can't prove I took two men to France.
I think we could. We put our minds to it. You'd better do the sensible thing. We want those two men. We want them badly. Tell us what you know, and you might get off lightly on the strength of your record. Keep quiet, and you won't have a chance.
How did you find out about it?
Never mind, Dan. Who were those two men?
Well, if you want them so badly, you must know who they are.
Then you did take them out of the country.
All right. Yes.
Who were they?
I've not the faintest idea.
You know, man, I'm getting rather tired of handling you gently.
I tell you, I've no idea who they were. They simply showed up a couple of hours before first light. They wanted to fly to France, I turned them down. Then one of them produced more money than you've ever seen in your life and said, 5,000 now and no questions asked. How the deuce do you expect a chap to turn down that kind of money?
Describe them.
Oh, well, one of them was tall, cut a good figure, quite evidently cultivated, very cold blue eyes, fairish hair, slightly Prussian to look at, if you know what I mean.
The other one?
A short, thick-set, swarthy fellow. Horrible piece of work altogether. Black, straight, thinning hair. Made me think of a toe.
Anything else?
Well, the taller chap kept whistling all the time.
What in particular? Just whistling?
No, it was the same confounded tune. It went...
What did they have with them?
Two cabin trunks I wasn't allowed to touch. They loaded them into the crate themselves.
You want to know something, Fagan? You should be shot.
Oh, look here, Fentress, it can't be that bad.
You fool, it's worse.
Who were they?
Their names won't mean anything to you. But say you'll have something to think about while you're in the cells. You've undone months of work. Five men have been murdered for nothing. and you let an international criminal escape, and you let him escape with something like £1 million that was originally looted by the Gestapo. And you're an ex-squadron leader with a DFC and two bars. They should pin gongs on chaps like you, Fagan.
Well, looks as though I have rather blotted my copybook, doesn't it?
You think it's amusing?
Oh, good grief, not at all. What happens now?
They hand you over to the police, of course. What did you expect? A warning not to do it again?
Yes, Colonel.
Hand this man over to the yard fellows, Gibbs.
Yes, sir.
All right, Fagan. If they give you 5 years, I shall be delighted. That's all.
Well, cheerio, Colonel. Sorry I was naughty. Well, do we go arm in arm, old boy, or wait till we're introduced? Gibbs is the name, isn't it?
You there. And get me Inspector Frayne at Scotland Yard, and then get my car round to the front. I'm going to Bookman's Sanatorium at Hampstead Heath. So it's over. Demetrius escaped us, loot and all.
But why did he leave the girl?
Oh. Just look at the time, Keane. I wish I didn't have to leave your lovely flat and go home.
Oh, you'd better, Hady. I'll drive you.
Keane, what have you had on your mind all night? Until a few days ago, you told me everything.
Well, tonight there's nothing to tell you except that I've been sacked, and Demetrius is still here in London, further out of my reach than ever. And you know all that.
But you're waiting for something. I can feel it. I know you so well by now, darling. You were waiting for those two telephone calls you had hours ago. And now you're still waiting for something.
Oh, come along. Where's your coat? The car's down in the street.
Keane, are you drawing away from me? If I lost you now, I don't think I could bear it.
I'm not drawing away from you, Hady. I never will.
Then tell me, please. Keane, what have you been thinking about all night?
Who the deuce... Oh, wait there. There's a good girl.
Evening, Keane. Mind if I come in?
Why, not at all.
Terribly late and all that, but I was passing your place, and there's something I think you'd be rather intrigued to hear. You alone?
No.
I hope I'm not intruding.
Oh, of course not. After you, Colonel. You'll find a fire in the living room.
Thank you.
Good evening, Colonel Fentress. Do you always pay your calls as late as this?
Not my social ones, Miss Bergman.
Look, what exactly is this?
This, my dear chap, is the final anticlimax.
I don't follow you. Oh, do you want Hady to withdraw?
No. She will be interested too, I should say. You see, Keane, Demetrius and Yachty Bloom left this country at about 6 o'clock this morning by plane, with the loot we were so sure was still hidden at Bookman's Sanatorium.
I can't believe it.
Eustace Manandy hit on an ex-Air Force fellow who'd had too much to drink on the strength of picking up £5,000.
The chap who threw them out?
His name's Fagan.
But where did he land them?
An aerodrome in France, not far from Nancy.
So we lose, eh? After all this, we lose.
Correct, we lose.
Leaving us holding no one but Rudolf Bookman.
Bookman's useless.
Well, can't someone follow the trail to France? We could still go after them.
Demetrius has $1 million in gems and cash actually with him. Within 2 weeks, I'll lay you 1,000 to 1 he shows up in one of those Central American republics without extradition treaties. And when you have $1 million in a Central American republic, you can buy yourself a lot of influence. Oh, we'd better face up to it. Demetrius is gone.
Oh, it's incredible. It's incredible that a man could come here.
But it's a fact nevertheless. How do you feel about it, Miss Bergner?
I don't know what to say.
I can well imagine.
Well, I don't suppose the sanatorium has any significance now.
No, none whatever. We've just come from there. Frayne's taken his chaps off. All the patients have been removed. The place is deserted. Well, that's my news, Keane. I hope you like it. Good night. Good night, Miss Bergman.
Good night, Colonel Fentress.
No, Demetrius wasn't in France. I didn't know where he was, but Jerry Fagan hadn't flown him anywhere that morning. We'd pulled it off. The sanatorium was unguarded. And in an empty warehouse down by the Limehouse docks, there was an ambulance under a tarpaulin, with 3 men waiting by a telephone in the light of a covered hurricane lamp. Yachty Bloom was one. Demetrius was another. The third was one of the black market Poles.
Yachty, that'll be that for now. Yes? You're sure of that? How many of them left? Well, listen to me. Wait another hour, then see if you can get inside the place. Go through it from attics to cellars. Yes, of course, we'll be waiting. Yes, this number.
What is going on, dear?
I don't know. They're making it easy for us. An hour ago, someone arrived at the sanatorium and went inside. Some time later, the police packed up and left in two cars. Bookman's sanatorium is deserted.
We are getting the loot tonight.
No, tomorrow night, after I've spoken to Haiti once more. We visit the sanatorium for the last time tomorrow night. And heaven help anyone who gets in our way, especially Gregory Keane.
But tomorrow night was a long way off, and when it came, we got in his way. This was one occasion when even Haiti Bergner couldn't help Demetrius.
Keane waits for Demetrius in the next chapter of this story of suspense. Dossier on Demetrius.